I kind of suggested D-Message a while back, and they took me up on it. As I was doing it, I was sort of realizing, well, I realize now I don't use it as much as I used to back in the day when it didn't detect all your hardware properly, and you had to sort of scrounge around and
figure it out.
So, but I thought I'd maybe if I did this, I would learn something from you guys as well. So, but how people are still using it. So, D-Message. What is it? It stands for display message, and what it actually does is it just it prints out the message buffer from the kernel when the computer is booting up. I'll explain in a little bit more detail. So how does it work? On boot up, the kernel loads the device drivers and they probe the hardware on the machine. And if it finds hardware, then it reports it in D-Message. And then basically D-Message is kind of filled up with stuff when you boot into Linux. And then the only time it really adds things to D-Message is if these days, if you just plug in a USB device like a hard drive or a webcam or flash drive, things like that. Or if there's errors or problems with your hardware, you may see it in D-Message as well. How do you see this?
What makes the distinction between, because most messages that are D-Message will show up after boot process, will show up in the bar message. So what's happening there? Is D-Message?
I guess it's
just the route of the message.
Yeah, I guess it's just specific to the kernel and probing hardware, and that's it. It's not it doesn't touch on any services that might be running or failing or things like that. So
it's analogous to standard error for the kernel. I think it's the same file descriptor as well. As far as the ring buffer, so any system call that fails or any system call / kernel function that puts any output to that file descriptor shows up in that D-Message buffer.
Does D-Message copy to our messages?
Syslog does that.
D-Message itself doesn't, but there's a daemon that's a companion to syslogd called klogd that does the kernel logging. So it's essentially taking the same content from the ring buffer that D-Message would pull out, but it's then transferring anything it gets from there to syslog.
Thanks. See, I told you I learned something. And then you can usually see all this data on boot up. Modern Linux distributions don't show you all the D-Message information. They give you a nice little splashy screen saying, you know, booting operating system X, and then but you usually can press escape and it will take you out of that flashy screen and it'll show you the old school boot up information. And then when you're inside Linux, you can type D-Message at a command line prompt, or on macOS sudo D-Message, and you can see the same thing. There's a lot of stuff that shows up when you list the content of D-Message, and it can be pretty cryptic if you're not comfortable with Linux. So what you can do is use certain command line tricks or tools to help you display it better or sort it properly. Some of these that I just, in the past, I know I've done is you can pipe it using this command here, D-Message. that doesn't help. Oops. D-Message space pipe space grep dash I, which means it's not case sensitive, and then the term you want to search for. So that's handy if you just want to see stuff on hard drive probes, information on hard drives and partitions. You can also do page at a time. If you pipe it into a tool called less or more, that'll just do a page at a time, then you press a key, and then you can see the next one. Or you can save it into a file just by using the chevron and file name. Then you can email it to someone that might make sense of it if you're stuck. So what is it good for? What I thought was it's good for understanding how your computer is seeing hardware and if it's going to let you play with it, because if you're having problems with your video display, you can use D-Message to find out if it's having problems with your display driver. You may have to update it or try a different driver. And I was just going to, this is sort of the second last slide, but I'd be interested in hearing how other people have used D-Message or are still using D-Message. Do you guys still find, you guys use it, or now that operating systems are pretty good at detecting hardware, do you find you use it at all?
Yeah, I use it. I usually pipe the panel. You mentioned a USB hard drive.
I got it formatted in some way that Meg is going to get off a message, then I have to wipe the devices. The department's great too.
Yeah.
So but I still do that.
But that helped me with some of the problems, errors I'm seeing at boot up on my machine.
See them.
It'll allow you to see them, yes, but it won't really tell you why.
Well, I was
Thunderbird's
not working. Kernel, though, right? It's got daemons, you know, it's not going to get it for that.
Yeah, it's just kernel specific stuff. So, like, if a driver can't do something or it notices something wrong, it'll issue a function called print k, and that's what prints to that buffer. And that's what you see there.
So you could actually, you could, if you are getting errors in there, what you can do is, if you don't know how to fix it, you can just copy and paste that line of that error into Google and just see what people are, if they're experiencing it, how they fixed it. So yeah, if you do run dmessage and you see errors in there, just paste it into Google and see what people are doing to fix it. Good.
Is it just hardware probes, or does it show you things like initial resolutions for your login screens? And
no.
It doesn't show you any of that information?
No. That's all, what's that, Xorgnon, I guess?
Yeah, it tends to be just low-level diagnostic messages and errors that are generated by the kernel itself. So if it's something that is being generated by a utility, it might be logged into syslog, but it's not going to be in dmessage.
Yeah.
Yeah, like so there's been times where I found if I got a generic webcam and instead of having to unscrew it and, you know, take a microscope to the chip and look up the chip, I would just plug it in and then run dmessage, and the dmessage would sometimes tell me enough information that I could Google that and find out the chipset and then find the drivers.
And tell you the memory and stuff.
Yeah. So basically, it'll tell you whatever the I guess the device is programmed to be able to, you know, tell you back when it gets probed.
Well, I used dmessage just the past week when I wandered by our backup server and saw the disk access light was running constantly for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. This is more than what you want for a backup. When you have multiple disks, you can see, you know, who's loading properly. And actually, in this case, they all were loading properly. So that's not what you want. But you can get other information from there. And in fact, I had to resort to smart control to get a little more out of it. But when you look back, you could see it was actually the DVD that was causing the error. So I unplugged it, and it was fine. It was a SATA thing. Plugged it into a different port. Tried that. It worked fine then, too. So evidently something on the board, but you need dmessage to, you know, to try to track things down like that to know where to look. Honest story.
Actually, yeah, that reminds me. I've had that experience, too. It's doing a copy of stuff with having CD drive problems.
If your machine crashes, sometimes you can get, because it pipes to Barlog message, you can sometimes see the difference or what happened just before it failed. Use it for that. It also depends on the version and OS you're using. So Solaris, by default, everything goes into dmessage.
Yeah, I know it's
that
a lot more
annoys
stuff.
Me.
Yeah.
In FreeBSD, there's a nice little feature where it will save at boot. It'll save the output of dmessage before it launches Getty to a file in var. It's like, I think it's var boot dmessage.boot. So if the ring buffer, because it's a ring buffer, so once you get to the bottom of the buffer, it'll start back up at the top and overwrite everything else. So it'll save the output of that file to there. So if the ring buffer gets overloaded, you've still got the initial dmessage boot. I'm not sure if Linux has something similar.
Certainly in the Red Hat-ish distributions, there's a varlog dmessage file, which is essentially a dump of the dmessage at boot time.
Yeah. So dmessage is a ring buffer?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And the size is different between distributions.
Okay. That set like a kernel parameter? Or
yeah. When you compile the kernel, you can set a typical size.
Question. Is this our first RTFM session without a flag?
Without a flag?
Without any flags.
Oh.
Yeah, I think
so.
Yes, it probably is.
Mm-hmm.
There is an option to do that.
What is it?
I make it shut up at the console, message dash N one. If you ever log in a tech console, or just viewing a crap.
Yeah, actually, N does. Funny you should mention that. You actually mentioned parameters, and I looked it up, and because I'd never done any parameters for dmessage, and I looked it up, and there's like three of them, I think. There's going to be 4 for Unix and 3 for Linux, but they're not commonly used. And N is your level, I think. So you can choose a level that will give you less or more information.
There's under one platform, I can't remember now if it was Linux or Mac OS, there's a minus C option that lets you clear the ring buffer.
Yeah, that's Linux, yeah. And that's yeah. NUX, yeah. So that would wipe it out clean, I guess, eh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
For security.
So you going to do one for us?
Like show you a...
Yeah.
Can I read a message on here? I guess you need to know your password, though.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think you need a... I don't think you need a...
You do under Mac OS.
Under Mac, you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's recording, for instance, all of the network ups and downs as we were plugging and unplugging the cable.
Scroll back a bit.
We could try to go back to...
More?
Yeah, it's all there. It's cool.
Yeah. His ring buffer is full. I can show a few more.
Sure.
If you want. Yeah.
Good.
Let's get into a... Get into work.
Can show some Solaris?
I can show Solaris, FreeBSD, OpenBSD, assuming you're online. No, we're not online. Darn. Is it that wiggly cable? Yeah.
Would that give you a new message?
No, 169, darn.
Yeah, it took a little while for
that. Yeah, you'll get the other one eventually. It's very slow to make for some reason, for a DHCP server.
We can do this. We know this. Oh, there we go, that's one. There we go. All right, so on OpenBSD, like, the first 2 lines from the kernel would be, like, its uname in OpenBSD. And then as it goes through the kernel boot process, initializes different modules, each will have its own set of outputs. So in this case, part of the BIOS driver spits out its revision, the name of it. And then the CPUs, the drivers for them, spit out their own details. The devices are usually at the front of the line, so you can use caret and then the start of the device name if you're looking for particular ones. And then it just runs through all the devices, through the boot process. In this case, it's seeing lots of ARP overwrites, and that's most likely my laptop. But let's take a look at a Solaris machine. So Solaris, that's the end of the boot. Unfortunately, it doesn't tell us too much. In this case, it shows us only links that go up and down. And I'll show you what happens when it gets filled. Fix that. And then we sit there waiting for a while, and then it pops up. In this case, lots and lots of Samba problems. In this one, I had a couple Samba machines fill up var. One log was 756 gigs, and it was one line. 756 gigs of that one line.
So all the daemons are logging through dmessage?
On Solaris, yeah.
Wow.
By default, it's dev console.
Okay.
That's like the descriptor for the output of the dmessage can sometimes be linked to a device node, and in Linux, it's referred to as dev console. It depends on the different OSs, but in Solaris, by default, everything logs to the console. The console is thrown into dmessage for some unknown reason. Which I can go to... let's go Winnipeg. And this will be FreeBSD. So just like OpenBSD, the first thing was just random stuff and then device nodes and then all of the stuff that's on that machine. And any link state. So you know, in this case, you see all these link up and link downs? The lag driver, or link aggregation, is saying what the link state of the device is. Now, it's going up and down a bunch because of we were testing it at the time. So you notice that there's no time, there's nothing like that. It's just a message. Mm-hmm. It's the driver saying, something happened, so I'm just going to log it. And that goes into the ring buffer. Now, when you refer to as var log messages, the klogd process in Linux will copy all the output that it sees on dev console to var log messages, and then you can see the timestamps. Let's see if there's actually any parameters for dmessage. Yeah, not much. Let's try one of them. I've never really used them. Dmessage minus A doesn't really tell you much. Oh, it's even showing something else. No, that's console. Never mind. Oh, okay. So in this case, the minus M, like if my machine crashed and it dumped the core image, I can pass the core image. I don't think I have one here. No. I can pass the core like the state of memory to dmessage, and it will tell me what was in the link buffer at that time. It's really helpful for debugging when kernels crash. Yeah. I haven't had to use that one. Usually I would go into GDB and then from a backtrace print out the kernel buffer from that. But apparently it's an option. So let's see if there are any options on Solaris. In Solaris, there are none. And they call them system diagnostic messages. Nice. And it's been obsoleted by syslog, which is pretty funny because syslog puts data into it. Actually, there was more stuff. Oh, just more garbage. Linux machine. Legion. So what is the Linux options? Terminal's not fully functional. That's interesting. Minus C for the clear, the level that was referred to, and the buffer. Interesting. Okay, so if you compiled your kernel with a larger than standard ring kernel buffer, which apparently is 16K by default, you can tell it, well, dmessage by default will only show you the first 16K of the buffer. You can say it's actually bigger or smaller, and you can outdo that. The I'm not sure what the levels mean.
Verbosity of messages.
Yeah.
That's what.
But what applies? What levels apply to what messages?
Well, for -N1, all messages except panic messages are prevented from appearing on the console.
Okay, so dmessage is parsing it and determining what levels what. Okay.
Typo, expect panic messages instead of accept.
Hey, you can get a commit message there. Mm-hmm. Submit a diff. cool. That's all it's really interesting about dmessage. Oh, dmessage on Linux?
I thought that was on Linux.
In this case, it's... Okay, no, this is Linux, and its kernel startup is a lot more verbose than the BSDs in Solaris.
Yep.
So, I'm not really sure what this means. Does anybody have any idea?
It's seconds and microseconds, isn't it?
It's the kernel timer. And so
interesting.
The kernel boots up as you get it. And it gets down to, like, unbelievably low when it probes stuff.
Yeah, the APIC data is just way crazily verbose. But it's helpful when things don't work.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, in this case, there's 8 processors on this guy. And it goes through memory regions, and all the little drivers and extensions to the kernel will have their own output, so it's 54 seconds.
I think we're going to be impinging on the presentation shortly.
Cool. I will kill it that.
Time for a break.
Pass through this.
Anyone who wants to stay and watch this can, otherwise everyone else go for a break.
Right.
Thank you.
Cool.
Thanks, Sean.
No problem.
All right, thanks, Sean, and thanks, Montana, for the presentation. Thank you.